Pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou wouldst be with us in this hour. We pray that we might achieve and gain through Thy grace the kind of humility that we need to help us to know that there are many things to learn about our faith, that there are many wonderful things to be discovered about Thee, and that there are many important goals that each of us needs to achieve as Christians. We thank Thee for this minister of Thine who has come to speak to us this day, and we pray that we might listen with the kind of humble minds and open hearts that we as Christians ought to have. In Christ's name, amen. May we turn, please, to hymn number 56. Hymn number, be seated, please. Turn, if you will, please, to responsive reading number 85, The Good Shepherd. Responsive reading number 85. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, make you perfect in every good work. Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. We are happy to welcome today Dr. Ralph E. Norton to this pulpit. Dr. Norton is pastor of the Red Bank Baptist Church at Chattanooga and was telling me a moment ago that this is his 21st year there. He is a graduate of Carson Newman and Southern Seminary, has served in the past as president of the Tennessee Baptist Convention, and also as a trustee of Carson Newman Baptist College. He has also participated in a 6-week preaching ministry in South America. I know that you are happy to welcome Dr. Norton to this pulpit, as am I. Dr. Norton.
Thank you, Dr. Hollis. It is a privilege to be here, even though I had to slip in as a substitute for a change in your program. Sometimes we all get in that way, back door. as they called and wondered if I would come to you this morning for chapel, my immediate thought was, yes, this is a good day to come, because I would like to remind the men especially of something which I know they have forgotten this morning. The women have not, and that is that this is Valentine's Day. Now, that is important in the lives of especially the women. If you who are married did not remember that, you somehow contact your wife. That is, if you wish to ask her to be your Valentine. Now, I, like most preachers, I'm advising you to do something which I am not doing today. Before I left yesterday, I did call her and say if I could sing, I would sing you a happy Valentine message. She said, please don't. Now, you may be in exactly the same situation. But the thought this morning is on Valentine, because that is our day. Someone told me before Dr. Holland left this morning to go to his 8 o'clock class, which is a custom of his, he quickly ran by his wife and pecked her on the cheek, and remembering it as Valentine, said, I sure am a little lovebird. And she says, that's right, I wish you'd give me a good kiss and quit pecking on me on this Valentine. It is difficult, and you who are involved as a married man know that the wives do have a very difficult time putting up with you and helping so much. It was not an occasion of Valentine that caused a minister's wife, and in all sincerity expressed her feelings about this particular situation just a short time ago, as you also may have read it in print, because it was put in print, a Mrs. Wolf, who probably it had not abnormal experience, but said clergy ought to be celibate, because no decent, right-minded man ought to have the effrontery to ask any woman to take on such a lousy job. It is thoroughly unchristian. Now, that's one preacher's wife speaking. I don't know what yours would say, but it wouldn't hurt for you at this particular time to at least wish her a happy Valentine. Now, since it is Valentine's Day, I say again, the message is basically around the heart. The heart is a vital organ, very vital. It's a dangerous time for you to express, as so often you do express, give me your heart, because now they do not know whether it is a symbolic expression or whether it's an actual request. But the heart has always been symbolic, now becoming more important. The scripture has said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Give me thine heart. There went with him, when Saul was selected to be king by Samuel, the man whose heart God had touched. The heart has been and still is the symbol of our emotions, of our wills, of our drives. And you and I, as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, needs to realize these commands and requests and challenges do involve us in our lives. I know from personal experience, as well as you, what the dean of one of our divinity schools said a short time ago is tragically often true. One is tempted to say that nothing corrupts the minister today so much as the church. After a few short years in the parish, most ministers have lost every vestige of serious intellectual and spiritual concern. It has been rubbed out of their souls. Unfortunately, I say again, that is almost a true statement. As you and I deal as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we work as servants of the church or agencies or organizations, we soon discover that we can very quickly have all of our intellectual and spiritual concern rubbed out of our lives. And when we do, we suffer as individuals. The Lord Jesus Christ suffers. The cause of God suffers. Thinking of our own experiences as ministers and servants of Christ, believing that each of us does not desire this lowering or destroying of our intellectual and spiritual concern, I personally believe that you and I must maintain a burning heart filled with the Spirit of God. When the disciples were walking along the street, the highway, after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, discouraged, bewildered, confused, you know, the presence of Christ came to them. And he began to teach them what the scriptures said. After that experience, the scriptures then have them saying, "Did not our hearts burn within us?" One of the tragic experiences of the cause of Jesus Christ is that the servants of the Son of God somehow destroy the burning Spirit of God until we have lost the consciousness of His presence and of His power. Our churches become cold, indifferent, as one has said, but clinkers. It is not the number of clinkers that compose a church. It is the fact that these clinkers are warmed with the Spirit of God. And if you and I are not going to have the same experience as this dean of the Divinity School was talking about, out as a servant of Jesus Christ, losing our spiritual and our intellectual concern, we must maintain a burning heart of the Spirit of God. You have read in, I'm sure, some of your books, the statement of Thomas Chalmers, who after many years of ministering said, "I am trusting more to my own activity and animal heat than to the Holy Ghost." And when that is true, we become cold clinkers in the kingdom of God. It is not how intellectual I am. It is not my native ability. It is not the power of my own physical body, mind, that is going to maintain a burning heart for God. It is the constant realization and desire to have the presence of the Holy Spirit. So I say to you this morning that if you are going to maintain intellectual and spiritual concern, you must maintain a burning heart. I believe also that if you and I are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, are not going to become intellectually and spiritually unfruitful, we're not going to lose our concern and our drive and our passion, and we're not going to minister to churches that in themselves have lost the fire of the Holy Spirit of God. We must be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ to have, as we would say, a compassionate heart. I see Jesus Christ in my mind's eye as he came to the brow of the city of Jerusalem. And I believe it was with a heart of compassion he cried out, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have helped you, but you would not let me." That was not some cold, firm, or intellectual cry. That was the cry of a burning heart filled with compassion upon the peoples to whom he sought to minister. And you and I must ever be in a spirit of compassion, not for intellectual principles themselves, not for ritualism or regulation, not for doctrines or creeds, all of them of extreme value. You and I must have a compassionate heart for men and women and boys and girls. It's people to whom we must minister. And all that I do must be ministered in that light. I did not have, because I probably didn't bring a dedicatory message, the experience of a minister who some time ago said he brought a dedicatory message. At the conclusion of the service, they wanted to instill a sermon in the cornerstone. He said, "First, get some chemical to keep this paper dry." One of his men said, "Preacher, that's not necessary. That's not necessary." But I did have the experience of one of our fine ladies. This was the third Sunday in January of this year. Came to me after the morning service and said, with tremendous elation, "You know, I've made a New Year's resolution." And I thought, well, that is fine. She said, "I have determined to stay awake during the worship services, even if I have to take no-dose pills." And she, on the third Sunday of January, said, "I've only had to take them twice." Now, I'm not sure that was much of a compliment. Well, it wasn't at all, but she was sincere. I have thought of that several times. But this I do know. If my people are not going to sleep, if my people are going to become involved and receive spiritual benefits from the messages and from my service, I must have a compassionate heart for the people. Whenever and however and wherever you and I minister to people with a feeling of compassion, we'll find a response that we love to see. The poet was not too far wrong when he said, "A preacher, priest, of austerity, climbed up in a high church steeple to be nearer God, that he might hear God's word and bring them down to the people. And in sermon script, he daily wrote what he thought was sent from heaven, and he dropped it down on the people's head two times, one day in seven. In his age, God said, come down and die. And he cried from out the steeple, where art thou, Lord? And the Lord replied, down here with the people." If you and I are not going to lose the intellectual and the spiritual concern which God has given to us, we must have a burning heart of the Holy Spirit. We must have a compassionate heart for the people whom God has given to us to minister.
And I believe we must have a dedicated heart. Over and over the scripture records Christ and others saying, "Thy will be done." I press on in the spirit of dedication. Dedication to Jesus Christ. Dedication to the truth of God. Dedication to the church of God. It's not enough just to have a burning heart and a compassionate heart, but I must have this dedicated heart to serve Almighty God in spite of the frustrations, in spite of the conditions. I'm dedicated to God's cause, God's church, God's truth. I read a long time ago a very familiar illustration that has helped me constantly. It was the story of a young minister in the seminary, just out of the seminary, who was seeking to pastor and was pastoring a church the best he knew how, but in all churches there are those who don't think the minister knows how to pastor the church and minister to the people. That's natural and normal. And this elderly man who was there witnessed a spirit of discouragement in the life and the heart of this young minister. And so after the service, he spoke to the minister. He said, "Son, I want to tell you something. I've been in 3 wars. I've been in 27 battles. And I have learned one thing. If you don't run, the other fellow will." And I know from personal experience through the years, and you have experienced, that the easiest thing for a child of God, a servant of Jesus Christ, to do is to run. And when we do, we lose our intellectual and our spiritual concern. So in these chapel moments, I sincerely say, serve Jesus Christ with a burning heart, with a compassionate heart, and with a dedicated heart. In the words of the hymn, "Take my heart, it is thine own. O God, it shall be thy royal throne." Shall we stand? Our Father, help us as your servants to understand that the challenge of the scripture to give to you our hearts, for out of them come the issues of life, signify our wills, our emotions, our lives, our all. And as we, in whatever area and phase, seek to serve you, help us to do it with a burning spirit, with a compassionate love, and with a dedicated will. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.